The diagnostic workup of the patient with PVCs has become quite routine, and in doing only a few simple tests, the clinician can quite accurately risk stratify the patient in his or her office as to the severity of the PVC seen on EKG. Certainly, the first test would be a series of blood studies, including the determination of serum potassium and magnesium, with probably a look at the cholesterol level as well. In most situations, a Holter monitor is useful as a way to quantify the VPCs to determine whether they are multiform or uniform, and to see if there is any associated ventricular tachycardia in addition to the simple VPCs alone. Some tests should be done to evaluate left ventricular function and valve function. And in most offices, the simplest way to do this is with a standard echocardiogram. If one has the capacity to perform a stress echo, this will help make the diagnosis of ischemic heart disease. Other physicians prefer to use a nuclear medicine imaging technique to make the diagnosis of ischemic heart disease. Either one is adequate, but this must be done to assure that ischemia is not missed as a cause. If the VPCs are in fact associated with a low ejection fraction and runs of non-sustained ventricular tachycardia, then a further workup should be done, including electrophysiologic testing and response to drug therapy. The cutoff for low ejection fraction is 36%, and this is based on the MADIT, or multicenter automatic defibrillator implantation trial. And if this patient with a low EF, coronary disease, and non-sustained VT is found in association with the VPCs, then an electrophysiologic study is warranted. Certainly the patient who has VPCs in association with evidence of ischemia on a stress test of some kind should go on to have coronary angiography, and this result will determine what needs to be done with this particular patient after the angiogram is complete.